Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Suzette, Rick, and Dr. Don on the phone, and we are delighted to welcome you to The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. My, where did July go? I mean, it just, that was the fastest five-minute month I've ever seen in my life. Today is August 4, 2017, and we are rapidly moving through summer, which I'm grateful for.
Me too.
It's quite warm here in sunny Southern California, but more than that, it is quite humid. We are at yesterday we were at 78%. Today we are now at 64%. That's still pretty awful for us. I know it's not like the South. I know all about that. Anyway.
You're wet when you come out of the shower.
Yes. That's true. We want to call your attention to our chat room. The official site is up there, linked, spiritoftruthministry.net. Our original website is also linked at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. You can go to both of these places for really good information. I am in the process of working on these. It is a slow and sometimes tedious process, but I will get it done. Also want to recommend to you our Facebook page. Suzette is our Facebook page manager. She is the one that takes care of all of that sort of thing. However, I do post every once in a while. And you can go there and you can request to be made a member, and Suzette will make you a member.
Unless
I beat her to it. So please take a look at our WordPress site. We think that you will enjoy that as well, and our Facebook site. Let us have prayer, and we'll get started with our program. Father in heaven, thank you for granting us a wonderful day of study, wonderful hour of study. Thank you, Father, for taking care of us in spirit and in truth. Thank you for preserving us physically so we can honor you with our service. And I pray, Father, that you will ease our worry as we learn the truth about what is to come, so that we will be able to function inside the kingdom of the heavens and inside the kingdom of the world to bring people out of the world into heaven. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, Suzette. It's nice to see you here today.
Morning.
Even though you clonked yourself on the head.
Yeah.
She's a very brainy person, and she just decided she was going to brain herself on the handlebar of her husband's motorcycle. Oh boy. And good morning, Rick. Nice to see you today, looking so dapper. Dr. Don, how are you up there in Chehalis, Washington?
Well, up here in Chehalis, it's a little depressing because it's very hot, and we've got this smoke.
I know, I was going to ask you about that.
It's just like smog. It's coming from a big fire, I think, in British Columbia.
Right.
It stinks.
And you should see satellite imagery of that. It's incredible.
Wow.
What's that?
Covering the whole Pacific Northwest.
What's that?
that British Columbia fire, the smoke is covering pretty much the entire Pacific Northwest.
So the airstream goes south.
It's really, really yucky. And it's humid, so it's just kind of and it hasn't rained. A couple days ago, we passed the record of the most days without rain in Washington.
Mm.
So the ground is like rock. I mean, it's dry. The ground is like stone.
And since you're that, last...
Weird weather.
It is weird. And today is the 4th, and in 2 days, Mammoth Mountain will be closing for the season at 270 days of snow and skiing, which is absolutely incredible. So in any case, we are delighted everyone is here. Thanks for joining us. Rick, lead off. And by the way, I'll find that text for you in a minute.
Thank you. I was thinking on the past few studies, and something struck me that I think is very significant to a question that some people have. And it's not so much a question like, I would like to know this, but it's more of an accusation. And Dennis is looking up the text, so we will have it for you. But
it is John 14:12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father.
Thank you, Dennis. And verse 14.
Anytime.
Chapter 14, verse 14 of John.
By the way, that's a good one for Dr. Don. He likes those. It's like John 17:17 and John 20:20. That
John
sort of 19, thing.
19:30. 1930, an old car,
1930. John 14:14. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it.
And see, you were talking about this the last couple of times. In order for this to work, you have to know the name of God. You have to know it. You can't guess at it. And we talked about that, knowing the name.
Well, his name is God. His name is
no,
Jesus.
No, that's his title. God is a title. If you were listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the last couple of shows, you will understand that the name of God is not something that just anybody can know.
So his name is not God.
His name is not God.
Dennis.
Yeah.
Dennis. See, we really need to be clear on this because, you know, there's flocks of people that like to knock on your door. And they will tell
you. I had one yesterday.
They will tell you with great urgency what God's name is, and you better use it or else. So there's a lot of people confused by that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, I had one yesterday, and a lovely, lovely young lady came up and handed me a pamphlet and said, we're having a convocation. We'd like you to come. And the name that she cited was Jehovah.
And she was a witness for him.
Yes, exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Good point, Don.
Would you marry someone you didn't know? Now, no,
I'm sorry, but people do this all the time.
No, but wait a minute, you know. You're like, what kind of a question is that?
Yeah, no kidding.
My wife is a wonderful person. And I married her a year after I met her. And last month...
And I'm not going to say robbing the cradle or anything.
Last month, we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it hasn't been a walk in the park. But you see, over the year between the day that I met her and the day that I married her, I learned a lot about her and her family. And she was the type of person that I wanted to marry for the rest of my life, be married to. I spent time with her and learned who she was, how she was. She has changed over the last 40 years, more physical than anything else, but she's still the same person that I married. Would you marry someone you did not know? And would the person that you marry you if they did not know you?
Hmm.
I talked about the importance of knowing God, capital G, knowing Elohim, capital E, which is God's plural. You must know God, Elohim. Now, Elohim is one Lord, but three beings, three separate, unique beings who all act in accordance. Why? Because they are from the same spirit, the spirit of the Father. And as you study the information that God has generously given us, you will find out how that came to be and how that is. But you must know God before you know the name. And so John 14:14, where the Son of God says, if you ask for anything in my name, what does in my name say? Does that mean I make a request and then spout out a name that I know, that I associate with God, and so therefore he is duty bound because he said, I will do it. So I need some resolution on such and such a matter. I am asking in your name. You said you will do it. I claim that promise.
And this is the basis for many of the TV ministries that are healing ministries, or what do you call them? It's kind of like
born again.
Well, but it's monetary.
Wealth.
You know, all of that. So
yeah,
they claim that God,
you have to know the promise and claim the promise.
If know the promise, claim the promise, and God has to give it to you because. And by the way, does God give it to many of these people? Does a God give it to many
enough
of these people?
Enough of them get it,
yeah,
to make it, and enough of them appear to get,
yeah,
it.
Right. Exactly.
To make these very successful.
Right. But it's not a capital.
But of course,
but you know who makes the
these
most
people
profit?
Who are preaching this are the ones who are really making the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And what they are doing is the sheep that they manage to gather around them are being fleeced.
Exactly.
Totally.
You must know God in order to know the name of God. If you deny that God is such and such, say, God does not require me to keep his commandments. Because I can't. Paul says I can't. And Paul got his information directly from God. That's what Paul says. And it's in the Bible, so you got to believe it because it's in the Bible. So when Paul says that the commandments are there so you can see what sin is and you can identify yourself as a sinner because you break them, but you're not saved by keeping the commandments. You are not saved by keeping the commandments. True. But keeping the commandments is part of what you need to do to have eternal life. Or the Son of God is a liar.
It is the Ten Commandments. Keeping the Ten Commandments are what are one of the two things that identify who is in the kingdom of heaven. If you do not do both of these things, then you cannot, I mean, whether you see, a lot of people, I mean, everybody I meet who is a Christian believes sincerely that they are in the kingdom of heaven. They have to be because they're Christians. Okay? And just like this lovely young lady who came by the other day, she's certain that she is in the kingdom because that's where they worship. You see, they worship at Kingdom Hall. And her lay pastors wouldn't tell her something that wasn't true. Oh no, they wouldn't. And the two people that I met out at the Hall of Justice in San Bernardino a few weeks ago, they for sure are in the kingdom of heaven. But when you mention Ten Commandments and you mention the words of Jesus, they actually don't know what you're talking about. And we do, because we know where that's found.
This verse is a part of the Son of God's last words to his disciples before his death. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. Did the 11 disciples know his name? And when I say no, see, when I say, did they know his name? What am I asking? Did they know that if he was over there and they wanted to get his attention, they'd say,
you who?
So and so. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28. And starting with verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him, though some hesitated.
Yeah.
Why did some hesitate?
They still weren't sure.
Did they have trouble getting down on their knees?
I think so.
Physically?
Mm-hmm.
If these some who hesitated knew his name, they would not have hesitated. And this is what I'm saying. So when he makes a statement, we have to take it into context with what he has said all along. We cannot, like John 3:16, we can't pull John 3:16 out of the whole discussion and say this explains it all, because it doesn't. And John 14:14 does not explain it all, because it doesn't. If you go back to where this started, where the Son of God says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God still. Trust in me. Did those who hesitated to bow down before him at Galilee when he went back to the Father, the day he went back to the Father, some hesitated. Did they trust in God still? And did they trust in his Son? Not.
They weren't sure who he was.
Did they know his name?
No.
No. Earlier, before we came on the internet, I was talking about an old movie. I think it was in the 30s or the 40s. I think it was the 30s. Or maybe the early 40s. The movie is called Fantasia. It was a Walt Disney animation. There were, I believe it was 5 classical pieces done by an orchestra. A quite accomplished orchestra. Dennis was saying that the first violin player was playing a Stradivarius. And what the Disney Animation Studios had done was they had constructed animation to go along with the music. Now, the last animation piece was called The Sorcerer's Apprentice. And of course, it starred Mickey Mouse as the apprentice. And in this, Mickey Mouse, who is basically the housekeeper, it reminds me a little bit of the Karate Kid and how Mr. Miyagi was having the Karate Kid wax his car and the floor, and, you know, and he said, wait a minute, I thought you were going to teach me karate. And he said, you know, you're learning. Well, this doesn't sound much like I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know, how do you do the karate chop?
Yeah.
Wax on, wax off. Mickey Mouse, in this piece, is the sorcerer's apprentice, but he's basically mopping the floors and dusting the furniture and cooking and so on and so forth, and he's not learning much about sorcery. But in his cleaning, he comes across the Hollywood. The Hollywood. And the Hollywood is the sorcerer's magic, with a K, wand. And now is his golden opportunity. The whole reason that he's been mopping and dusting and polishing and cooking and cleaning and doing all of these menial chores is he wants to learn magic. And there's the wand. Now, if you've ever watched this, you see that it does not turn out well for Mickey because he doesn't know how to do this. And he ends up with a huge catastrophe, which is about ready to do him in when the sorcerer arrives and puts everything back in order, back in place. The reason that I'm using this example is that not until you know Elohim would you be able to know what to ask for. Because you can ask for anything that you want, just as he said. But you need to know the ramifications of what you're asking for. Because what you do when you ask for these things is that you are changing reality. And when you change reality, you change time. Oh, you never thought of that. How can you change time? What is time? Time is a measurement of events and occurrences. We set dates, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, we have a recurring date every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We begin our broadcast. So what I'm saying is that when you know God, then you know his name. And when you know the name of God, you know what to ask for and when to ask for. You understand the ramifications of what your request will have on the future. You see, I like to bring up Hezekiah. Hezekiah had a mortal illness. He was going to die. Maybe he had 3 months to live. Maybe he had 6 months to live. I don't know. But he did not want to die right away. He did not want to die at all. And he felt that God owed him more time because of all the good things that he had done for God. You know, he cleaned the temple out of all the pagan artifacts and emblems and icons, and they were all out. He'd torn down the altar, Baal, the Asherah poles. He had cleaned up Judah and had restored the worship of Yahweh. And he deserved more time to live. And he laid out his case before God. All the things he had done. God, he's bargaining. Did he know God?
Obviously not.
Did Hezekiah know God? No. He knew him, and he prayed to him, mm-hmm. and he had worked on his behalf, on Elohim. He'd done what Elohim had wanted, cleaned out the temple and torn down the altars and the poles and everything. And did he know Elohim?
No,
he didn't. He prayed to him. He acted on his behalf, but he did not know him.
Yeah.
And we know that gave Hezekiah an extension of life, 15 years.
Wow.
And that the sign that he had extended his life would be that the shadow would move backward on Solomon's staircase.
Wow.
And because the shadow would move backwards, that would be something that had never happened before. So Hezekiah would know for sure that God was going to answer his request. Wait a minute. If Hezekiah knew Elohim, would he need a sign to know?
No. Definitely not.
Have you ever thought about this before?
No. He was questioning God. If he would really do it.
That's... So Elohim told Hezekiah, we'll give you 15 more years. So the shadow will move back. I think it was 10 degrees on Solomon's staircase. For this to happen, the earth would have to reverse its rotation. Stop. And reverse its rotation back, and then reverse and start its rotation again.
Hmm. Wow.
And during that reversal, normally people would be flying off the face of the earth because there was.
Well, and the earth would go out of its orbital path,
yeah.
And it would.
So the only other thing that could happen is God would maintain this solar system. But move the entire universe backwards.
Hmm.
And that's not the only time that this type of celestial phenomena had occurred. I mean, you remember Joshua asked for the sun to stand still so he wouldn't be fighting the battle at night.
And Gideon asked for signs. But why did God grant Gideon?
Well, Joshua wasn't asking for a sign.
He was just
saying, look, if it gets dark, it's not going to go well for us here.
We can't disengage in the dark.
Right.
But again, people will look at Gideon and they'll say, well, Gideon asked for a sign. Why did Gideon ask for a sign? Because Gideon was a pagan.
Is Gideon a shining example?
No. That's what I'm saying. Gideon didn't know God.
Did Gideon know Elohim?
Absolutely not. He was a pagan, but he became a servant of God, just like Nebuchadnezzar.
Did Abraham know God?
Actually, Abraham did know God.
But did he know God completely?
No.
No. He knew of God. God would visit him. In fact, God says he was his friend, and he was his God.
Abraham walked with God.
But if Abraham had known Elohim perfectly, completely, he probably would, I would say he would not have done the things that he did to preserve his own life.
Mm-hmm.
Can God be known perfectly?
Yes, in the simple answer, because if he can't, then Jesus lied about God.
Well, we go back to John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If we know God the way God wants us to know him, the way that God has given us to know him. In fact, the Son of God says, I am the way. The way to what? The way to know God. I am the way to know God. Now, do not let your hearts be troubled. So how is it that our hearts cannot be troubled? What troubles us?
Let's define having a troubled heart in modern language. That's called worry, and that's what we started with today on our program notes.
And stress.
And stress.
Stress comes from worry.
Right.
Yep.
Worry means, Jesus says right here in John 14:1, don't worry.
Abraham was concerned for his own life when he was in Egypt because he had a beautiful wife, and he knew that Pharaoh would take every beautiful woman into his
harem, or however you would call it,
into his household as a concubine, and he didn't bother with a divorce. He just executed the husband. And Abraham, of course, did not want to be executed, so he tries to pass her off as his sister. Does he trust?
No. And by the way, this did not go well with when.
No, it didn't end well.
Well, you see, who did Pharaoh blame for his? I think it's leprosy. Pharaoh got leprosy, and he said, how come you didn't tell me she was your wife? And what's Abraham going to say? Because I thought you were going to lop off my head?
He had to cover his other end.
I cannot stress enough, people, my friends, you who listen to these studies, that to know God is not just to know that he exists, to pray to God, to read about God. There's a difference between reading about God and studying.
Mm-hmm.
When the Son of God said, if you live in my word, if you live, and if you're living in his word, what does that mean? You are living according to what he says. And you have to know what he says in order to live what he says.
This is found in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And that is, by the way, what we were talking about last week.
Right. To the Jews who believed in him, the Son of God said, and this is John 8:31, verse 32. If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. The 11 disciples on the banks of the Sea of Galilee on the day, the last day, they saw their teacher. And when they saw him and fell down at his feet, some hesitated. were these who hesitated truly his disciples?
Not anymore.
Had they ever been his disciples?
No.
Because they doubted what he was saying. Just like the Jews.
They had been listening to everything.
People wonder, well, why did the 11 disciples, all right, I mean, we have Matthew and we have John and Mark, we have who wasn't a disciple, but he associated with the disciples. How come we don't have all of the disciples writing their recollections of their master's teaching? Because they hadn't listened.
Right.
And so I've had people tell me, well, that's why God had to call Paul, because his disciples had quote unquote dropped the ball. So he had to call Paul. Let me tell you, if the Father needed Paul, he would have called him as a disciple to be one of the 12.
Exactly.
Don't think he couldn't do it. Because you all know God will do what he needs to do. If he wanted Paul to be a witness, he would have had Paul there to hear the words of his son.
He said, I would have sent you another apostle, but he never said that.
If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples, and you will learn the truth, and the truth will make you free. Verse 14, John 14. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. When you know the truth, you know Elohim. When you know the truth, you know Elohim. When you know the truth, you know his name. You know the name. Because the name of Elohim is who they are. I was talking with a friend of mine at work. I've known her about as long as I've worked in the hospital. So that would be 23 years. Wonderful person. I just found out yesterday that her first husband, who died, was a preacher's son. And she's one of the nicest, most wonderful people I know. And I shared with her what I do on Friday and on Sabbath, and she wanted to know a little more. And I told her, well, you know, one of the things that I have discovered in my studying is about the Holy Spirit and how what God did with the man in the garden when there was not a suitable helper found for him was that he made a helper for him, or he took out of the man a woman. In fact, that's what woman means, taken from man. And how long did the woman exist? Well, as long as the man did, because she was taken from the man. And that Elohim, before Elohim, he was the Father. The Father is going to create the universe and everything in it. And he looks around and there is no other God. There's no other being like him anywhere in space. But he wants a helper. I didn't say he needs one. He wants one because it's not good to not have a helper. Well, how's he going to get a helper? There aren't any helpers around. Well, God knows everything. And he knows that he can take from within himself his spirit and set it apart from himself, another spirit, and that spirit can be as individual as the woman was with the man. And not only can she be individual, but she can in characteristics. She'd never heard that before. And immediately I noticed something about her that was like, ah, there's the Holy Spirit who knows what it is like to be feminine. Not female, mm-hmm. not a woman, because those names do not describe where it is in likeness.
Yeah.
So I have found that women, although they may be a little uncomfortable in considering that the Holy Spirit is as they are, like the idea that there is a God who is like they are. In fact, the associate pastor at the church telling me that when he was working on his doctorate, one of the classes he was taking, there was a woman who had been raised Baptist and had converted to Catholicism. And he said, he asked her, you know, this is kind of unusual that, you know, a Baptist would become a Catholic. Why? What made you do that? And one and only reason was because the Catholics recognized Mary as an intercessor, and she liked the idea that there was a woman influencing God.
Wow. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Is that Eve?
No.
It can't be.
And it's not Mary.
And it's not Mary.
Yeah.
So who is that woman? We go to Revelation 12 and we find out.
And that's what I told my friend.
Yeah.
Do you know God? If you say, well, God is not a woman, God is not a female, God is not feminine, God is male, God is masculine, God is in control.
That's a fairly misogynistic point of view.
Do you know God?
Not if you say that.
Yeah. And I cannot explain.
By the way, don't get caught up in this. This is going to a larger point.
Yeah. Yes.
There are a lot of people who just can't give up
mm-hmm.
certain paradigms.
Won't give up.
Well, they would say can't because it's so ingrained. Don't let this stop you from listening to the other part of this
mm-hmm.
about knowing God.
What I want you to understand is that you cannot blame God. You must not blame God when God does not perform on your request, when you, in all sincerity, ask in his name to do something, and it doesn't happen.
You can't blame God for that. The only thing you can blame is your misunderstanding
you
of who God
say,
is. I must not know
God.
Who God is.
Yeah.
Right. I must not know his name.
You see, the next verse, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he says, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it.
Right.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What does that have to do with anything?
Now, one of the things that they do in many Bibles is that they will have identity break between verses.
Mm-hmm.
In the New American Standard Bible, between John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Between that and the next verse, it says Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. That is the identifier for that section. Remember, there are no chapters, are no verses. There is one contiguous identity in the Greek language.
In fact, there's no breaks in between the words.
There's no breaks in between the words. And so, yes, there are breaks, there are natural breaks, but you cannot say that verse 14 here is separated at all from what is occurring in verse 15.
Right.
They are contiguous.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Well,
his commandments are not the Ten Commandments. That's what I've been told.
Oh,
they're what he has commanded, not he
love,
didn't.
Love your neighbor, obey God, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's all that you have to
But what did he say to the rich young man?
If you would be perfect, here's what you must do.
Well, first of all, he wanted to know how he could have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Jesus,
wouldn't we all love to have eternal life in paradise? How many times have we thought, you know, if I had been in the garden, I certainly would have messed it all up. I mean, that would have been wonderful, a wonderful place to live. I wouldn't have messed it all up. So what God is saying is, I'm going to make the whole earth the garden of paradise, and we will live there. Yet, what people do is they change the requirements. And that is exactly what the man and the woman in the garden did. They changed the requirements according to what the serpent was instructing them. They were listening to the serpent. But we would never listen to the serpent. We are more sophisticated than those two in the garden.
Hmm.
That serpent is not going to deceive us.
Huh.
I only believe in what is in the Bible. Well, the serpent was in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who think that God keeps the Bible pure and clean, have to explain why he didn't keep the garden pure and clean.
Good.
I mean, couldn't the woman have said, well, the serpent is in the garden?
Mm-hmm.
And if the serpent's in the garden, then the serpent must be all right.
Yeah.
That might have worked had God not warned Adam about it, and Adam not warned Eve.
About what?
About going near the tree.
Okay.
Really?
See, but the thing is that the serpent was not perceived as the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, you know, didn't say the woman that the serpent is the devil.
Mm-mm.
Did she?
She said a serpent spoke.
The serpent is having a conversation. They're in here, you know, the tree is in here, the two trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and here's the serpent in the garden, the serpent in the garden.
Mm-hmm. But they were told to stay away.
But the Bible's different. God wouldn't allow the serpent in the Bible at all. We know that for sure.
Really?
Well, how do you know that for sure? Because God would be deceiving us. Wait a minute. So the serpent in the garden was God deceiving the woman. he allowed it. Oh, so he allowed the lies to be inserted in the Bible, but they're not lies because he would never allow it. See, if someone wants to believe a lie bad enough, they will make any number of excuses. And is that not what happened ultimately at the end after that, where the man is saying, well, it was the woman. The woman is saying, well, it was the serpent. What did the serpent say?
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm sure he was just smiling because he didn't have to say anything.
I got him.
I did it.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
And then I will send you another comforter.
I shall ask Father.
I will ask the Father to send you the comforter. Exactly.
And he will send you another advocate.
Notice, well, yeah, and that word advocate is also has comforter, counselor. Mm-hmm. That's what the Greek word means.
So all of this hinges on one thing that we must do before any of this can come to pass. We must know the Elohim we worship. Because if we don't, none of this will come to pass. None of it. The man and the woman in the garden, did they know Elohim? Well, you know,
he walked with them. He talked with them.
The son came in the evening, would talk with them and share with them. And did they know? If they knew Elohim, what the serpent said is, you will be like them, what they would say is, we are like them. We are their offspring. Mm-hmm. What does that make us? We are like them. We don't need to disobey them to be like them. They didn't know Elohim. And they disobeyed, thinking they were going to become like Elohim. And if they had only known, they were already like Elohim. They had access to the tree of life, and they could live forever as long as they ate from the tree.
Thank you, Rick. That was a terrific study. We encourage our listeners to go to our website at spiritofministry.net. Look around, especially two things, our book, The Spirit of the Church, and also the 6-part grand plan. We also encourage you to put in your calendar the Revelation of Jesus tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And we also have this wonderful resource in Blog Talk Radio, the archives. You can go and you can search any number of over 800 programs. What was the program that you had?
July 31st, 2015.
So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long till tomorrow. We'll see you then.